Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. You can give us a call always, 359-2255. And in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk some Illini football. And one question, Jeremy, that I forgot to throw out early is this. I want to ask Illinois fans who they think will be kind of the breakout star this year. Who are you expecting to do really well for Illinois? And who is maybe a freshman that you're hoping can really contribute to this team? We're going to talk about that in the 4 o'clock hour.
Yeah, and you can always email us, Lon,
L-O-N, right?
Yeah, at myconnectfm.com, or Jeremy, J-E-R-E-M-Y, at myconnectfm.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, because Lante is back to tweeting. Did you tweet yesterday?
No, I forgot. So I'll do it twice today.
All right, you guys got to tweet twice today. You can follow him at Lante Connect FM, or me, at Werner Connect FM. That's W-E-R-N-E-R. Not Kurt Warner.
Not Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
Not... although you would have been that good if you wouldn't have blown out your elbow as a youngster.
Yes, because I had talent.
Does Megan Montemurro follow me on Twitter?
I'm not sure. She follows me.
Nope.
Megan? I mean, is it just because I hadn't tweeted since Christmas?
Yeah.
Is that's why, right?
And I only found follow regulars.
regulars.
Well, he's now tweeting at least once a day. Yes. I'm making him tweet. So, right. So Megan, he's worth following now.
Week, I'll follow you.
Sweet. This is awesome.
She's giving you a trial run on Twitter here.
Yeah, and then she'll take, can you remove yourself? You probably can. This is Megan Montemurro from the Northwest Herald. You can read her stuff at NWHerald.com.
You got that right.
I did. And listen, if I'm a Cub or a White Sox fan living in Central Illinois, I would be following Megan because she's at every game. She's in the press box now at games. So Megan is always around these guys. She talks to these guys a lot. And Megan, we always enjoy having you on. We appreciate it. And can I just tell you that, can I just fire the first salvo about the White Sox here? Because my boy Jeremy, you know, this team is just dragging him along. Can they just do something, either get real good or get real bad and quit being 3 games out?
Please.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically been their season. And, you know, it's pretty much frustrating for anyone involved. And, you know, they really haven't shown that they can really string together something. So, yeah, it's pretty maddening.
Well, they're 3.5 back of the Detroit Tigers, and I knew this would be the case because the White Sox have talent. They should be at least a 500 club, if not like a 10 over 500 club. But, you know, Detroit, not going to run away with this thing. Cleveland, not going to run away with this thing. And the Twins are sitting back there. I mean, they're still in this thing, I guess, since it's AL Central. But do you have any more faith from what you've seen in the last couple weeks from the White Sox that they can actually win this thing, Megan?
Not really. I mean, basically for the fact that they haven't changed really who they are. They're still basically 7 guys on offense carrying the team. And when you're playing 7-on-9 offensively, that's a lot to ask for. And, you know, obviously, can they come back? Yeah, they can. But at the same time, you know, they really haven't shown that they're going to change who they are. And, you know, even Kenny Williams said the other day that, you know, the inconsistency doesn't give him too much faith, despite him being optimistic that they can string something together. So, I mean, when your GM is admitting that you've been inconsistent all season long and you're not sure if that will change, I mean, I don't know, as a fan, how you can really have faith that something positive will happen.
Yeah, Megan, and we're the Cardinals station here, and I think a lot of Cardinals fans would be frustrated if the White Sox make the playoffs because the Cardinals would be winning this thing and running away with the AL Central right now. But the White Sox are in it. They're 61-61, 3.5 back. Yet Adam Dunn, I know we've talked about him all year, and I don't expect him to get better, but he's hitting 162, and this White Sox are in a pennant race, and they keep trotting him out there. What is the logic behind this?
I mean, part of it is Ozzie doesn't have complete faith that, you know, a guy like Woolbridge can play every single day. And there's no spot to really bring up Vicio, who's not even, he injured himself the other night, so he's not even 100% right now. So, I mean, you really don't have too many options when it comes to guys on the bench. Woolbridge has been obviously working there and playing at first. Diaz is starting in right field tonight in place of Quinton. But, I mean, you really don't have many options. Diaz has pretty much provided a nice spark, you know, out in the outfield. But at the same time, you know, you're paying Rios and Dunn a ton of money to get you wins. And you don't really have guys on the bench that can really suitably fill in for what they're supposed to be producing. So, I mean, basically just kind of stuck in a lose-lose situation.
Talking White Sox and Cubs with Megan Montemurro. She's from the Northwest Herald. You can read her stuff at nwherald.com. This hour of the Tay and Jay Show, by the way, brought to you by Kramer Siding and Window. You can visit them at kramersiding.com. Megan, I mean, being part of the media, and I assume being part of a Chicago media, I assume the question has been asked either once or multiple times to Ozzy or Kenny, why is Adam Dunn still in the lineup? If that's the case, what are their responses? Is it defensive, or do they say exactly what you just said?
I mean, they've kind of wavered. I mean, at one point, you know, around the trade deadline, Williams said, you know, we're going to play best players regardless of how much money they're making. If guys with big contracts are on the bench, so be it. But at the same time, that really hasn't happened that much. Dunn missed a few games this past weekend because of a death in his family, so he wasn't in the lineup then. And as for Ozzy, I mean, he sometimes will say, you know, I'm going to give Dunn an extended break, and maybe he'll have a day off against the lefty, but then he's back in the lineup. And, you know, they're kind of limited, too, with Konerko's knee injury, not allowing him to play in the field. So with that, I mean, you really either have to play Dunn or Littlebridge at first. So that really hinders your options and really what you can do with the lineup. So, I mean, there really haven't been answers. I mean, this team is what it is, and they're either going to win with who they have or they're going to lose. Because, you know, Williams said the other day that they don't really have the financial flexibility to go make a move like the Indians or how Detroit added Delman Young. So this is pretty much who they're going to have to try and win the pennant.
You're pumping me up, Megan. You're pumping me up for this White Sox. I quit them until they got to 500. Now I'm watching them again. If they go under 500, I'm just not going to watch them. I don't see the point because, like you said, it's just so frustrating. And I know there's other teams that have plans to do bigger things, but the White Sox have to rank near one or two of the most disappointing teams this season.
Oh, definitely. And especially when you look at how well the bullpen and the starters have pitched. I mean, it's frustrating that, you know, if a pitcher gives up two runs, they can't win. It just seems that they really haven't, both offense and pitching really have not clicked at the same time this season. And they're pretty much just stuck in neutral. They can't really get above 500, and they keep staying right around in that 500 range, which isn't going to win the division.
Megan Montemurro, Northwest Herald. Let's switch now to the Chicago Cubs. And luckily for you guys, Carlos Zambrano is up there, and he keeps things lively, doesn't he?
Yeah.
What's going on with him now? What's the latest?
Well, basically, the Players Union filed on his behalf to contest, you know, basically being told, hey, we're not paying you. Don't come around the ballpark. So basically for 30 days as of right now, he's not allowed to join the team. He's not going to be paid until the league decides, you know, who is right and who is wrong in the situation. So until then, they're kind of he's kind of in limbo at that point. I mean, who really is going to want him? Obviously, he's been put through on waivers. They're really just a waiting game at this point, and it'll be interesting to see what happens once a decision's made. If they have to take him off the non-qualifying list and make him active again, that will be kind of what will put everything in motion. And if they decide to release him, decide to keep him. So basically, it's kind of in limbo right now until a decision's made on that.
So, Megan, what if the Cubs lose this battle? What do you think they're going to do with Zambrano? Can they trade him? Do you think anybody would have any interest in him? I don't, because, you know, he's probably a fourth starter now, and I don't know anyone that would want to take a risk, even if the Cubs pay most of the salary. Do you think they're just going to cut him outright and just, you know, take the money, give him the money to go?
Yeah, I mean, if he does get dealt, realistically, the only teams that could really take him on would be a team like Boston, New York, maybe Philly. You need a team that has a veteran presence, a strong coach, and a situation where basically they tell him, you know, if you don't win or if you pull any of your antics, you're gone. So that's really the only thing I see them being able to do. Maybe if he comes back, they say your punishment's you're going to the bullpen, and give a guy like Casey Coleman some more starts, see if he has what it takes to, you know, pitch at the big league level. But really, I mean, if I was a player on that team, I would probably have a hard time welcoming back after he basically walks on the club because, you know, he gave up 5 homers. That's all on him. And I understand that, you know, he was upset with himself that he living up to the contract that he signed. But at the same time, you know, you can't keep pulling that after you say that you've changed. And for most of the season, you know, he proved that he had, but one meltdown is all it takes.
Wrapping up with Megan Montemurro. I got one last question, Megan. The Cardinals coming to town. They're coming to Wrigley. That's always a fun time to be there. Is it going to be an exciting series? I mean, does anybody care in Chicago that the Cardinals are coming to town?
To a certain extent. I mean, I don't think... people will show up. I mean, they've been drawing 40,000 during the week. So, I mean, there will be a lot of people there. It'll probably be close to a split crowd, I would believe. So in that sense, yeah, it'll be a great atmosphere because anytime you have a lot of visiting fans at the stadium, sure. You know, that gets kind of electricity going. But, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, the Cardinals are pretty much floundering. The Cubs have been playing well of late, but now they return home and you have this whole Zambrano issue. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm going to be there at the game tomorrow, so it'll be interesting to kind of see what the mood is like in the clubhouse.
That's Megan Montemurro from the Northwest Herald. You can read her stuff at nwherald.com. I'll also follow her on Twitter. Tay, you can follow her on Twitter.
Yeah, I'll do that.
M_Montemurro. And Megan, just don't let these teams drag you down. Keep it up. I know there's only about 38 games left, so keep on with it.
I'll try my best.
Thank you, Megan.
Thanks.
All right, that is Megan Montemurro.
That's a tough job
right now.
Covering the Cubs and White Sox. I understand the White Sox are in it, so that makes it somewhat interesting. But these two teams are just depressing.
Can I sound cool here?
Sure.
Can you give her Twitter handle again? Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Can you spell her last name, though? Because it's a longer name.
At M_Montemurro. M-O-N-T-E-M-U-R-R-O.
I'm serious. I mean, if I'm a Cub White Sox fan around our area, one of our listeners, she does a great job. And she's there talking to these guys every day. So definitely give her a follow, especially at nwherald.com.
Got some Illinois basketball stats. Derek Burson from Sports Info tweeted this
final.
Out. They beat Castellanza Select 131-65. ridiculous Illini scoring totals. I think you'll like this. Bertrand with 18 points.
Wow.
Tyler Griffey, who might be one of the best guys. Bertrand and Griffey have had a great time over there. Griffey has 17 points. Brandon Paul with 15. Ibby Jim Day with 14 points. Mike Henry with 13. Myers Leonard and Nana Egwa each with 10. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys in double digits. Maniscalco had 9. Mike Shaw with 8. Crandall Head with 7. DJ Richardson with 6. And Tracy Abrams with 4. Also, Illini shot 55% from the floor. Shot 97 shots.
How did they do on the three-pointers? That's
made
been
11 of 20.
Okay, that's been
a big thing, but I hear this team didn't play much defense. But,
well,
hey, you still got to hit them. And they shot 14 of 19 on free throws. They out-rebounded Castellanza 41-26 and had 28 assists and 24 steals. So that's the best game. Don't know how good the competition was. Doesn't seem like it was great, but still probably a good day for Illini. They have one more game left tomorrow.
Okay, when we come back, we'll touch a little bit more on Illini basketball. 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk a lot of Illini football. We're back. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.